Good morning, everybody. We're going to be reading from Genesis this morning, first of all from chapter 32. In this first part of the reading, Jacob prepares to meet his brother Esau. Jacob also went on his way, and the angels of God met him. When Jacob saw them, he said, "This is the camp of God." So he named that place Mahanaim. Jacob sent messages ahead of him to his brother Esau in the land of Seir, the country of Edom. He instructed them, "This is what you are to say to my lord Esau. Your servant Jacob says, 'I have been staying with Laban and have remained there until now. I have cattle and donkeys, sheep and goats, male and female servants. Now I am sending this message to my lord that I may find favor in your eyes.' When the messengers returned to Jacob, they said, 'We went to your brother Esau, and now he is coming to meet you, and 400 men are with him.' In great fear and distress, Jacob divided the people who were with him into two groups, and the flocks and herds and camels as well. He thought, 'If Esau comes and attacks one group, the group that is left may escape.' Then Jacob prayed, 'O God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, Lord, you who said to me, "Go back to your country and your relatives, and I will make you prosper. I am unworthy of all the kindness and faithfulness you have shown your servant. I had only my staff when I crossed this Jordan, but now I have become two camps. Save me, I pray, from the hand of my brother Esau, for I am afraid he will come and attack me, and also the mothers with their children. But you have said, 'I will surely make you prosper and will make your descendants like the sand of the sea, which cannot be counted.' He spent the night there, and from what he had with him, he selected a gift for his brother Esau: 200 female goats and 20 male goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 female camels with their young, 40 cows and 10 bulls, and 20 female donkeys and 10 male donkeys. He put them in the care of his servants, each herd by itself, and said to his servants, 'Go ahead of me and keep some space between the herds.' He instructed the one in the lead, 'When my brother Esau meets you and asks, "Who do you belong to and where are you going and who owns all these animals in front of you?" then you are to say, "They belong to your servant Jacob. They are a gift sent to my lord Esau, and he is coming behind us." He also instructed the second, the third, and all the others who followed the herds, "You are to say the same thing to Esau when you meet him. And be sure to say, your servant Jacob is coming behind us." For he thought, "I will pacify him with these gifts I'm sending on ahead. Later, when I see him, perhaps he will receive me." So Jacob's gifts went on ahead of him, but he himself spent the night in the camp. So we're continuing on with the Bible reading, starting up again at verse 22. And this section is titled, "Jacob Wrestles with God." That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon. Jacob looked up, and there was Esau, coming with his 400 men. So he divided the children among Leah, Rachel, and the two female servants. He put the female servants and their children in front, Leah and her children next, and Rachel and Joseph in the rear. He himself went on ahead and bowed down to the ground 7 times as he approached his brother. But Esau ran to meet Jacob and embraced him. He threw his arms around his neck and kissed him, and they wept. Then Esau looked up and saw the women and children. "Who are these with you?" he asked. Jacob answered, "They are the children God has graciously given your servant." Then the female servants and their children approached and bowed down. Next, Leah and her children came and bowed down. And last of all came Joseph and Rachel, and they too bowed down. Esau asked, "What's the meaning of all these flocks and herds I met?" "To find favor in your eyes, my lord," he said. But Esau said, "I already have plenty, my brother. Keep what you have for yourself." "No, please," said Jacob. "If I have found favor in your eyes, accept this gift from me. For to see your face is like seeing the face of God, now that you have received me favorably. Please accept the present that was brought to you, for God has been gracious to me, and I have all I need." And because Jacob insisted, Esau accepted it.
Thank you, Margaret, for reading God's word to us. Let's pray and ask for God's help. Father, we thank you for this wonderful part of your word that was just read. We ask that as your spirit is present with us, that you will do your work in our hearts to help us learn and grow, to see your wonderful grace, and to continue to be changed in your grace, to walk like Jesus walked. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, our passage today has a beautiful picture of reconciliation. It's a beautiful picture of what Jesus teaches us in Matthew 5, in verses 23 to 24. If you just go to the first slide for me, thanks. Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, he says this, "Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift." We have a picture of reconciliation of brothers, right? Sin causes disruption to relationships. It breaks relationships, but there's a way to mend them, to bring about reconciliation. And that is just such a beautiful thing when it happens. Notice here Jesus says, first go and be reconciled to them, then come and offer your gift. Reconciliation before the act of worship. That's what God desires. When Genesis, Esau has swindled his brother Esau's birthright from him, and then he's stolen his blessing, and so he fled Esau, who's his twin brother, who wants to murder him. He flees to his mother's relatives in another land, and on the way, God appears to him at Bethel, and he says he'll be with Jacob, he'll watch over him, and he'll bring him back to the land. Well, after Jacob has married two of Laban's daughters and has 11 children, accumulated many possessions, God tells him, go back to the land of his fathers, to the land of promise. But before he can settle in that land, worshipping God, Jacob needs to deal with his brother. Reconciliation before worship. In chapter 31 last week, Jacob narrowly escaped his uncle Laban, who was pursuing him after Jacob had fled secretly. But God intercedes directly to protect Jacob. The great danger has been averted. Laban returns home, Jacob moves on. And then Jacob takes steps to reconcile with his brother. He actually could have avoided it. He's going nowhere near where his brother lives. He could have avoided it. But he sends messengers reporting his return along with letting him know he's got many possessions. Interestingly, he doesn't mention his wives or children, but he mentions his motive at the end of verse 5. Now I am sending this message to my Lord that I may find favor in your eyes. That word favor, it's the same as the word grace. Grace means favor. Jacob is seeking grace from Esau to forgive his actions. In effect, he's saying, Esau, please forgive me. There's a very real sense in which Jacob has wronged his brother. You know, Esau might be foolish and immoral, ungodly, but Jacob took advantage of this to get his birthright and then stole his blessing. So there's a sense in which Esau's wrath is understandable, right? Not good because he wants to murder him, but it's understandable. Now it's about 20 years later and Jacob seeks Esau's forgiveness, grace. I read an account this week about a man who once... He shares a story. He entered into a men's store in Philadelphia, and he asks the store owner how he was going. And the man replied, terrible, terrible. Monday, we had only one customer. Tuesday, we had none at all, and Wednesday was worse than Tuesday. And naturally, the man then inquired, hang on a sec, how can Wednesday be worse than Tuesday when you had no customers on Tuesday? Oh, it was worse, the man shot back. The man who bought the suit on Monday came in and wanted a refund. Jacob's just gone through a really bad day with Laban pursuing him, but it can still get worse. And it does, right? The messengers return to Jacob, but there's no message for him. They don't say, oh yeah, Esau, he received us warmly. He said, oh, that old thing, hey, let's let bygones be bygones. Just go and tell Jacob, let's just forget about the whole thing. Nope, they just simply report, he's coming to meet you, and he has 400 men with him. Put yourself in Jacob's shoes for a moment. What would you be feeling? If your answer is great fear and distress, that's exactly what Jacob felt. But amazingly, Jacob takes steps then that result in one of the most wonderful reconciliations, most wonderful pictures of it in the Bible. And so we can learn from what Jacob does to take steps for reconciliation in our lives as well. So first, let's learn from Jacob's posture. What's his posture? It's humility. 8 times in this passage, Jacob refers to Esau as his Lord. Did you notice that? 5 times, he refers to himself as Esau's servant. Look at verse 4, for example. He instructed his messengers, this is what you are to say to my Lord Esau. Your servant Jacob says, and he reports the message. Or later in verse 18, Jacob instructs the servants who are driving forward the cattle and flocks to meet Esau, you are to say they belong to your servant Jacob. They are a gift sent to my lord Esau, and he is coming behind us. Esau will have heard the words, your servant Jacob and my lord Esau, over and over again, at least six times before they meet. And then he continues to use it as after they meet. Jacob humbles himself before Esau. And when they do meet, in chapter 33, verse 3, Jacob bows down to the ground seven times as he approaches his brother. And all his family come and they bow before Esau too, probably as instructed by Jacob. When we've wronged someone, reconciliation begins with humility. Pride, self-justification, defensiveness, they're all enemies of reconciliation, right? We must keep humbling ourselves, admitting our wrongdoing to each other, to other people as well. And that can be hard, can't it? Sometimes. But there's a great resource that God has given us that we'll come back to. So first, let's follow the example of Jacob's posture of humility. And second, let's learn from Jacob's practical steps. Now, not everything he does is something that we follow. I think he's kind of finding his way through to the right steps. The main practical step to follow is to make amends for the wrong that he's done. We'll work our way towards seeing that. Jacob's situation is more uncommon than our experience. For him, it's a life and death situation. Hopefully that's not our experience when we're pursuing reconciliation. The first thing Jacob does is protective, right? It's protective of others. And you could say actually it's protective of God's promises should the worst outcome eventuate. You know, in fear of the oncoming massacre, Jacob divided the people who were with him and all his possessions into two camps, verse 7. And then we're told his thinking in verse 8. If Esau comes and attacks one group, the group that is left may escape. You know, even in this scenario, presumably Jacob dies because that's Esau's aim. But Jacob's line continues. Some of his children would survive and God's promises would continue. That's wise, isn't it? Now, we're going to see that Jacob actually abandons this approach later. Everyone is actually there present together when Jacob meets Esau. A second practical step Jacob takes is prayer. Now, we're going to consider that more fully in a moment. But the third practical step is he takes is to make amends for his wrongdoing. In verse 13 onwards, he selected a gift for his brother Esau. I think it's not insignificant that word gift is often used in the Bible in regard to offerings to God, right? So you could translate it offerings. This gift or offering Jacob selects is extravagant. If you do the math, 550 animals, right? It's a big gift. He sends them in separate herds going ahead of him. And verse 20 is the key verse that I want to dig into with you. But let me give you verse 20 in a very literal translation, a very exact translation, so that you can see the point. For he said, I will cover his face by the gift or offering going ahead. Literally, that's in regard to my face. And in this way, afterwards, I will see his face. Perhaps he will lift up my face. You know, you can see the word face is very important in this verse, but actually throughout these couple of chapters. But another key word in this verse is the word cover, in cover his face. Most English translations have it as appease or pacify him. It's a word that's, again, very often used especially later in the law, regarding sacrifices to God. It literally means cover, but usually our Bibles translate it as make atonement. So for example, Leviticus 1 verse 4 says, this is in giving a sacrifice, he is to lay his hand on the head of the burnt offering, that's the animal, so that he can accept on so that it can be accepted on his behalf to make atonement for him. That's the word. It could be translated to make a covering upon him. That word make atonement or to cover is very common in the Old Testament sacrifices. There's one more verse that's extremely important to get the point. In chapter 33, verse 10, Jacob says, if I have found favor or grace in your eyes, accept this gift or this offering from me. But then he uses a different word in verse 11. This is a different translation again to get the key word. This is the LSB. He says, please take my blessing, which has been brought to you. It's the same word for the stolen blessing back in chapter 27, the usual word for blessing. Jacob, he took everything in the stolen blessing. And look at the reason he urges Esau to take his blessing. Because God has dealt graciously with me, and because I have everything. And he urged him, and he took it. See, the gift is not simply to soften Esau up. It's not even only an atonement, though a covering for sin, though it is that as well. Jacob is making amends for the wrong that was done, the wrong that he did. And he does this in another way too. We've already noticed that he humbled himself before Esau. Well, the blessing that Jacob stole included these words. This is from Isaac speaking to Jacob. Be Lord over your brothers, and may the sons of your mother bow down to you. We saw Jacob has just reversed that one as well, hasn't he? Jacob makes amends for the wrong that was done. When we've wronged someone, it's not always enough simply to just ask for their grace towards us in forgiveness. Sometimes we need to make amends for it too. That sometimes that may be in some material way. Other times it might be explaining how actually our actions are going to be different in the future. Whatever the situation requires, we need to make amends. So we learn from Jacob's practical steps, making amends for the wrong. And we also learn from Jacob's prayers. Back in chapter 32, verse 9, we have Jacob's earnest prayer reported to us. He acknowledges who God is. O God of my father, Abraham, God of my father, Isaac. He acknowledges God's grace. Lord, you who said to me, go back to your country and your relatives, and I'll make you prosper. I am unworthy of all the gifts, of all the kindness and faithfulness you have shown your servants. Notice that the reason Jacob can declare himself Esau's servant is that he's become God's servant. He acknowledges God's gifts. I had only my staff when I crossed this Jordan, but now I have become two camps. And then he prays for salvation in very candid terms about his fears. Verse 11, save me, I pray, from the hand of my brother Esau, for I am afraid that he will come and attack me and also the mothers with their children. See, Jacob's no longer self-sufficient. He has others to worry about. And finally, Jacob prays the promises. But you have said, I will surely make you prosper, and I will make your descendants like the sand of the sea, which cannot be counted. Do you ever pray God's promises back to him? God, you have said, you will never leave us nor forsake us. Please be close to me through this troubling time. God, you've said that your peace will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. please do that with these anxieties that I've just laid out before you. God, you've said that you are faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us for all unrighteousness. Please forgive me and do this work in me. You know, Jacob's prayer is an expression of faith. It is dependence upon God. And as we seek reconciliation with people, we should also depend upon God. There's one more part I want to include in under this heading of prayer, and that's the wrestling incident. Now, I don't believe that it was just a metaphor for prayer. I believe that there was actually a physical wrestle. You know, you don't come away from prayer with an injured hip, unless, of course, you know, as you get older, you injure yourself when you're getting down kneeling on the ground or something like that. Jacob comes away with a limp because it was a physical encounter. But if this was God that he's wrestling with, then Jacob's requests here are prayers. In verse 22, Jacob sends his wives and children and possessions across the Jabbok River. And then it says, verse 24, so Jacob was left alone. I think there's a pretty good assumption that is to pray. And then suddenly in the dark, wham! A mysterious man just grabs him, pulls him to the ground, and they begin to wrestle. It says, a man wrestled with him till daybreak. You know, if I were Jacob, my first thought would be, Esau's got me. Right? Someone just attacks you in the dark. But as Jacob holds on and won't give in, something happens that reveals this is no ordinary man. Because he just touches the socket of Jacob's hip, and it says his hip is wrenched as they wrestled. This mysterious figure is holding back immense power. And then the man wants to go at daybreak. This is for Jacob's protection, because it's dangerous for a sinful human to see God face to face. Jacob replied, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And so the man changes Jacob's name. Your name will no longer be... He changes his name. Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel. The name Jacob had been connected by Esau to his previous actions, right? As deceiver, it sounds like the Hebrew word for grasp the heel, to trip someone up. Israel most likely means God struggles or God fights, suggesting that God fights for him or for his descendants. But the meaning given here is actually slightly different. It flips it around. It says, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome. I find it hard accepting that Jacob truly overcame God here, this mysterious figure, because, you know, we see immense power is being held back. But the statement is actually recognizing Jacob's perseverance, isn't it? He's holding on. More importantly here, Jacob is told that he has overcome in his struggles with humans. Who could he mean there? With Laban? And now with Esau? Do you see what that means? It's assurance that the meeting with Esau is going to be okay. Well, Jacob finally gets his blessing at the end of verse 29. That's how he overcomes this man, I think. God graciously gives him in and blesses him. He blessed him so that he can be a blessing to others. He can give the blessing back to Esau. Jacob names the place Peniel, which means face of God. He says, it is because I saw God face to face and literally my soul was saved. Remember, he pleads with God to save him from Esau. But he gets not only that, he's saved from God. This is so important because the power that we have for reconciliation with others is first knowing and experiencing reconciliation with God. So let's pull all this together regarding the reconciliation. I think Jacob's encounter with God is why in chapter 33, Jacob leads the way in approaching Esau in verse 3. And look at this beautiful moment in verse 4. Esau ran to meet Jacob and embraced him. He threw his arms around his neck and kissed him. And they wept. A 20-plus year old grudge turns into brothers embracing and weeping together. Isn't that just beautiful? Jacob clearly sees the connection here between his meeting with God and his meeting with Esau. You know, Esau asks him about all the flocks and herds, and Jacob replies in verse 8, to find favor, grace in your eyes, my Lord. In verse 10, if I have found favor in your eyes, accept this gift from me, for to see your face is like seeing the face of God, now that you have received me favorably. Why is it alike? Favor. Grace. Jacob, he knows what it's like to have God's eyes look upon him in grace. And now he experiences it from his brother too. The most important reconciliation that you and I need is with God himself. Our sin has broken that relationship. But in this case, we don't bring a special gift or offering. We're not the ones who make amends for it. God himself gave the offering, the immense gift of his son. He covers his own face from our sin. He makes atonement for us through the death of Christ. You know, the greatest thing that we have, I think, is not just salvation from God's wrath, though that is truly wonderful and so important. But more wonderful is that we have reconciliation with God, relationship with God himself forever. Romans 5 says, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son. And it says, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we now stand by faith in a position of grace, of God's favor upon us. He looks continually upon us now, because of Christ, with eyes of grace. It's because of that that we can reconcile with people that we have hurt. We can reconcile with people who have hurt us. We can have the humility to admit our sin, to make amends where that's needed, to confess and ask for their grace to forgive. Is there anybody in your life that you need to take some of these steps this week? Don't delay. If God's poking your heart for this, then take steps towards that this week. You know, I know that very often sin is not one-sided with broken relationships. But regardless of what the other person has done, we are those, as recipients of God's grace, who should take responsibility for our sin. And like Jacob, we then seek reconciliation. You know, we can't determine the final outcome. We don't know what's going to happen. That's in God's hands. And so we do it in prayerful dependence upon him. And we rest in the knowledge that his face towards us is always full of grace. He has lifted up our face in Christ. Let's pray. Oh, Father, what wonderful grace you have given us. What wonderful truth that you look upon us in grace. Though our sin tore us away from you, in Christ you have brought us back to you. Father, please help us to be people who seek reconciliation, who seek to live in peace and to reconcile with people, to take responsibility, to do so in humility, to make amends, to do it in dependence upon you. And Father, we ask that through those processes you will pour out your grace in the lives of the people around us as we become peacemakers, reconcilers, just like you are. That ultimately more and more people would be reconciled to you as well. In Jesus' name, amen.